This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Mark Reardon.
I mean, my gosh, guys, he's unbelievable.
This country was built on hard work, added value, and talent, not on equal outcome.
Mark Reardon.
People are aroused. I haven't seen people so aroused in a very, very long time.
Yeah, he has that effect on people.
This is the Mark Reardon Show.
Oh, poor Chuck Schumer in that open bite. He's had to cancel his book tour and everything.
Aw.
Yeah, the decision he made to not shut the government down, his crazies don't like that very much, so they're going after him. And he really did. He had to cancel the book tour. I think he's supposed to be on The View, though. So that will look forward to
that. Oh, that'll save him.
Hey, good afternoon, Sue. How are you?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good. We got Ethan here. We are without the Hall of Famer because he is in Japan right now. I have not heard from Fred since he's been in Japan.
But, how about old Fred Bottenheimer over there, ladies and gentlemen?
I texted last night. I think it's a 13-hour difference in Tokyo.
Yeah. I heard from him on the old WhatsApp. Here's what he said. You ready?
Yeah.
We made it. Long flight. It's 2:30 in the morning here now, Tuesday the 18th. Got to our hotel at 8 p.m., went right to bed. Getting up at 7 a.m.,
okay.
Walking tour at 8:30. I can't even do the math, so tired, going back to sleep.
Okay, but so what, did he say when he was going to be up?
Yeah, he's going to be up at 8:30 a.m. Can we do the math?
No, but I say, like, you think he'll wake up before that? Like, that's when he has to be at the deal at 8:30.
He said he's getting up at 7 a.m.
Yeah, 7 a.m. So that's 6 o'clock when we're getting off the air, right?
Yeah.
Isn't it 13 hours?
He said 14.
Oh, that's even better.
Yeah.
So at 5 o'clock, we should be messaging him, 5 o'clock our time.
Okay.
All right, just remember
that. He also said, tell Ethan to get in touch with Rainford.
Yeah, because Rainford had to cancel he was going to be on the roundtable on Friday. But I think that everything is being held together right now. I really do. Although, let me start with this, because this is very serious and it's important. And quite honestly, Sue, Ethan and I didn't even put the pieces together or connect the dots. He's coming in a little earlier because Fred's out. And when you were texting me this morning, like, I'm in this crazy traffic.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he was in the I-70 traffic where this cop was hit. I don't know. Do you know about that story?
Yeah, that was after rush hour this morning. He was apparently taken to the hospital and they were dealing with that.
Yeah, he had a very serious injury. We think he's going to be okay.
Good.
But here's the most important part right now, and I just tweeted this out. The @SLMPD, the St. Louis Metropolitan Police Twitter handle, just tweeted out a picture of the vehicle here. So the suspect that hit the officer, and Ethan, when you were coming through here, it was like a crime scene. So then they shut that down, and it's impossible. It's a 2008 to 2013 Cadillac CTS that is wanted in connection with this near Shreve. It was I-70 near Shreve. The officer was busting and arresting somebody, and then this guy came down. They say the passenger side rear damage and possible damage to the rear taillight. The vehicle was last seen in the eastbound express lanes with the bumper hanging off. Surveillance cameras spotted the vehicle near I-55 and 44 around 8:50 a.m. Anyone with information, please call. So there we go. Hopefully we can find. I mean, it's a pretty clear picture. I don't know if they have you'd think that they have the license plate, but from the picture that they can't put really up on Twitter, tell. You can't really tell.
Who put that up on Twitter? The
SMLPD, the Twitter handle for the police.
Okay.
So let's hope that we can find, that person.
Please.
And, again, the officer, I think the officer is going to be okay as far as anything that would threaten his life, but that's a terrible, terrible accident. And these things keep happening, by the way. This is the second one we've had along these lines in recent months.
I tell you what, I've never seen anything like that. And, when I was on my way, like you said, I'm coming in a little bit earlier because I'm having to replace a Hall of Famer. Good luck to me.
Yeah, good point.
But, and I was like, I noticed, like, man, traffic's not nearly as, as busy as I thought I expected it to be at this time. And then all of a sudden it just stopped. And I did not move for a good 25 minutes. And as I'm passing by, it is just, it's flooded with cop cars. There's a couple of the crime lab vans there.
Right.
And they were marking out evidence in different spots. I had never seen anything like that in real life.
Well, that's what happens when you have, so it was a carjacking that they were investigating, yes. And they were chasing suspects. And then this car comes along and hits the officer. And Chief Tracy actually says, if it wasn't for another officer that got him into a Tahoe and rushed him to the hospital, this could have been much worse. They didn't wait for the ambulance. They dragged the guy into the hospital in the car.
Wow.
So they're trying to get information out. But this is, I mentioned you had David Lee, who was hit near Grand on September 22nd. He later died in surgery. Remember that situation from last year? So just a terrible, terrible deal this morning. And hopefully they're going to, maybe even by the end of the show today, we'll have some information on an arrest. And let's kind of go back to Friday night because, look, we had Dave Murray on the air on Thursday. We had our fish fry on Friday. Everything sort of got pushed. Initially, that weather was going to come on, I think around 7 o'clock. One thing we remember from Friday afternoon, I don't know about you guys, when you drove home from the fish fry, it was crazy windy.
Windy. It was nuts. And like the kind that you could actually feel in your car.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. So then I get home.
Oh, I thought about your daughter. How did Alexa do and all that?
I'll follow up on that in a second. But I get home and I see a message. So I didn't get home till after 7 just because we were a little further out there in Colville. So here's my neighbor, Jake, says, hey, you missed the excitement earlier. The poles in the backyard, like the electric poles, started arching and lighting up.
Oh, boy.
Holy Toledo.
Yeah. So he said he called the fire department, and the fire department came, and they said, yeah, it looks like it tripped something. They should be fine now. That makes you feel real good when the—
Oh, my gosh.
He said, by the way, he said, arcing. Is it arching or arcing? One of the two. They were bending over.
I don't know.
Basically the point. So, then you're kind of waiting, and I'm looking at the radar, and whatever radar I was looking at didn't really show any storms, and then I pressed the right button, and it started raining a little. It didn't seem like it was going to be that big of a deal, but then when you saw that line that David talked about even on Thursday, and he did say it was going to come through quickly, and it did. I don't know about where you were, but we have, and I've indicated this before, we have tornado sirens that are essentially in my backyard. They're in Jake's backyard. I mentioned Jake. He lives right next to me. So they were going off nonstop.
Yes.
The power was going off a lot, too. It was just flicking off, and then it would come back on. So did you experience any of that?
Yeah, and we in the city had the kind where the voice comes on and says, take shelter now, and it's all broken up. And I've not gone to the basement in years, possibly ever in this house, but it freaked me. It freaked us out enough, and Mike was carrying bulldogs down the stairs.
Well, we were in the basement. Alexa, and this has been chronicled, this goes back a few years, I'd say 3 years now, where she was in the car with my wife's aunt, and the power was out, and she had to run to our neighbor's house to get, I think she was getting a key or something, and then she got freaked out because she was outside when the weather was bad. So she's really come a long way on this.
Good.
But when things started to kick in on Friday night, she was shaking and she got freaky. I think what happened is it wore her down. There were so many times the sirens just kept going off.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And at that point, she's like, okay, I think we're fine. We stayed in the basement. We stayed safe.
Good.
And she was so tired that she went to bed. So I was actually rather impressed with how she did, given the circumstances. We had hail, so you could hear the hail.
Yeah.
We never really seemingly got too much rain. I mean, it rained intensely, but for a very short time.
Yeah.
So it didn't seem to,
That was the whole thing, is it was a fast-moving storm. It was never going to be a super long thing.
Right.
But when it hit, it hit, and it felt like almost the blink of an eye, and then it was, okay, it's not that bad anymore.
Hey, here's a message I got on Saturday from my dear friend Jeannie Sullivan from Pets Paws
Plus. Oh, we love Jeannie.
Yeah, how about this? I wish we would have gotten one of those blanking generators that you're selling on the radio. Our power went out at 10 last night and came back at 11 this morning. Lost all the food in the refrigerator. We had a tornado right by our house at 141. We saw tons of blue lightning. It was wild. So, yeah, Generator Supercenter of St. Louis here in Chesterfield. And I think a lot of people were probably feeling that. So where I live in High Ridge Valley Park, not a lot of damage. However, if you go to the south, Arnold was hit pretty hard. Washington, Missouri, that area down 44 was hit really, really hard.
Yeah, they really got it. You know what? I used the Odyssey app. That is how I was listening to coverage. How about that for homerness?
I was listening. What did you watch, Mark, or listen to? Did you? Oh, he had to get a cough in there. Oh,
bless
and there's
you.
Cough number two.
Oh, no, it's a sneeze.
Oh, sneeze.
No, you know what's funny? I'm glad you mentioned this because Steve Templeton and the team from Channel 4 should be very proud, and here's why. We didn't turn Channel 4 on because I wanted to, okay?
Right.
No offense to the other stations, but that's kind of where I go, and I used to work with Steve, and I like Steve. I don't have an issue with anybody else, but that's kind of where we go. And I didn't want to turn it on because of her. And she actually says these words at one point. She goes, "Why don't we turn on First Alert 4? I'm like, oh, my gosh. She said the whole phrase. I mean, the marketing department at KMOV should be thrilled because that's exactly what they want to do.
Yeah, it is.
They're conditioning those kids First Alert 4. She already has brand allegiance to Channel 4. Now, part of that is because Kristen Cornett came to her school, so she likes Kristen quite a bit, and she always watches her. But I thought that was pretty impressive.
That is impressive.
All right. Well, we got through the weekend, and now we can talk politics and everything else and prepare for the next fish fry. By the way, this is a big week because Kilmeade's coming this week as well. So we're going to be at Assumption Parish in South County this week on Friday. Ethan will actually be there. You get to come to this one, don't you?
Yeah, I do. I'm excited. I'm like I said, you know, with it's a little bit of an upgrade this week getting to be Fred Bottomer.
Well, you're going to love to have you. It's a lot of fun. We had a great time. We should go back to Friday soon and thank everyone because that is a great fish fry in Cottleville. And we appreciate everything that they did to accommodate us. And it was a huge crowd on Friday. I mean, we didn't draw the crowd. The fish fry drew the crowd.
Correct.
But it was nice to see a bunch of listeners as well on Friday. And we'll do it again this Friday. I mentioned Kilmeade. You still have an opportunity to get some VIP tickets, even if you have regular show tickets for Saturday night at the Factory. He texted me over the weekend. I'm not going to tell you what it was. There, I think it's a little recon for the show. He was asking me for a couple of answers about local communities. So I think they're maybe going to work that into the show.
Nice.
We'll find out. But that's Saturday night, and we'd love to see you there. We'll have the whole team from 97.1 FM Talk out there Saturday night at the Factory. And, you know, we've been talking about this thing for like 3 months. I remember, I think it was the beginning of December when, you know, Brian had texted me and said, "Hey, what do you know about this place called the Factory?" And I said, "It's awesome. You're going to love it." So they picked a very, very nice venue. As we get moving here this afternoon, we'll have former Senator Lamping coming up here in a couple of minutes to talk some politics. Brad Young in the next hour. We'll get in some of the legalities of Mahmoud Khalil, the Columbia University student, has been detained and hopefully going to be deported. The question is, can that happen legally? There's some other questions about deportations going on related to the Constitution as well, and Brad will weigh in. Now, Sue, I don't think you were as dialed into this as maybe Ethan and I were, and Fred probably would have been if he was here, but the field for the NCAA tournament is set. We have a lot of local teams that are going, including SIU Edwardsville.
Love it.
That's a great story. Mizzou is a sixth seed. I think, was Illinois a sixth seed as well? Ethan, yeah. So Illinois, I think they're a dangerous team. I see some people picking against them in the first round.
Yeah, they play a first four team. They'll play the winner of Xavier and Texas.
Right.
And some people didn't think that Texas was even going to get in. And I know, I'm sure you'll mention this at some point. 14 teams from the SEC making the tournament.
That's impressive. It's great. And, you know, Dennis Gates went on TV on Thursday night after the victory against Mississippi State and made the case and lobbied for 14 teams. And I think they deserved it. There's no doubt about it. But again, the way they do this, and this is fun. You know, at first when they started doing these play-in games, I didn't know. But they make these matchups so good. The Tuesday night games, are they both on Tuesday or is there some on Wednesday?
There's two on Tuesday, two on Wednesday. And I'll say this even about the first four games is, there's two 16 versus 16 matchups. There's two 11 versus 11. And like you said, it's, these teams aren't going to do anything. That's not true. In fact, a first four team has at least won one first round game every year since they started in 2011. The only year they didn't was 2019. We've also had two first four teams make it to the final four.
Wow.
So There's just because you're a first four team does not mean a lot of teams take. I think it's an advantage because you're going into your first round game against a team that hasn't played in a few days. You could argue you're a little bit more red hot.
Yeah, could be.
That's how Fairleigh Dickinson upset Purdue. They were the 16 seed. Was that 2 years ago? They were a first four team.
That's it. That is interesting. Mm-hmm. That's right. Now look, what's happening here is so just so you know, and I want to go on the record with something here this afternoon that will be forgotten completely if things don't turn out the way that I hope they will. I just want to make sure that's clear. I'm going to read a prediction. You'll never hear this again if something happens Thursday that is against.
Funny how those work.
Uh-huh. But I, you know, because what happened was is Mizzou's playing Drake, and I don't know if you were dialed into what Frank's been talking about, but Cusumano's been buzzing about them because they're in the conference with SLU, the Missouri Valley Conference. They have these kids from Northwest Missouri State. They were Division II. The coach goes to Drake. He pulls these three kids over, and they had an incredible season. Really
they did.
Good.
I almost went to Drake. I didn't, but I'm just pointing that out.
Because of the Bulldogs.
And
the great mascot.
No, but
the great mascot.
Great. Yeah.
So, you know, they were here. They won that championship here just a couple of blocks away from here. So a lot of people, they're the easy pick for an upset against Mizzou. So a lot of people are predicting this. Ain't going to happen. And here's what I'm going to tell you right now. Okay. And I wrote this out in an email, and I sent it to Ethan, so it's on the record here. I'm going to say this. The Tigers by double digits. F this upset talk, and here's why. This is a team in my Missouri Tigers that are in the upper echelon of the SEC. And this team is in the MVC. And I told you this a few weeks ago. I was watching SLU, and I don't even know who it was. And it's like watching slow-mo compared to the SEC. Now, having said that, I'm not trying to completely disrespect Drake and what they've achieved. But they're playing on a different, you know, level right now. Now, this is a team that also beat Vanderbilt, so they have some things on their record. But I would say this as a Missouri fan, okay, and I'll stick by this. If we can't beat Drake in the first round of the NCAA tournament, we don't really belong to be there. We certainly don't belong to be a six seed. So I'm going with my double digit. I think they're going to be fine. Everybody, here's the other thing. When everybody picks the same thing for an upset, guess what? It don't happen.
Well,
it's
that's
the
true
teams.
Too.
It's like who was picking that 16 seed over Purdue?
No one.
Nobody.
No one.
Nobody.
And I'll say this: Dennis Gates is by far a good enough coach to where, you know, there's no doubt that this noise, he's going to use to fire his guys up and say, hey, they all think they're going to beat
you. They're being disrespected right now, and they know that. And I think that they've used that to their advantage earlier in the season, and I think they'll do that as well. But look, we're going to have, I know I reached out to my friend Chris Trevino, who's on the Tigers Broadcast Network. We'll get him on. I'd love to get, we have down the hall the voice of SIU Edwardsville, right? Mm-hmm. And Joe Pott. He does some Cardinals work, so we might get Joe on this week. And then, Ethan, I asked you to reach out to the play-by-play guy for Drake because it is a great story.
Yeah, we're waiting to hear back.
And I'd love to have him on, so we'll see what happens. But we're off and running here on a Monday edition. Ethan filling in for the Hall of Famer. Sue's got Sue's news in the next hour. Senator Lamping is coming up next.
Hey, I'm Andy. If you don't know me, it's probably because I'm not famous. But I did start a men's grooming company called Harry's. The idea for Harry's came out of a frustrating experience I had buying razor blades. Most brands were overpriced, overdesigned, and out of touch. At Harry's, our approach is simple. Here's our secret. We make sharp, durable blades and sell them at honest prices for as low as $2 each. We care about quality so much that we do some crazy things, like buy a world-class German blade factory. Obsessing over every detail means we're confident in offering a 100% quality guarantee. Millions of guys have already made the switch to Harry's. So thank you if you're one of them. And if you're not, we hope you give us a try with this special offer. Get a Harry starter set with a 5-blade razor, weighted handle, shave gel, and a travel cover. All for just $3 plus free shipping. Just go to harrys.com and enter code SHAVE at checkout. That's harrys.com, code SHAVE. Enjoy!
The Women's Hoop Show, a podcast hosted by me, Jordan Robinson, brings you fresh women's basketball voices and breakdowns every week. I'll be joined by hoop experts all year long. Find the Women's Hoop Show on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Did you see how President Trump said all the pardons that were issued by Joe Biden are void? Biden used an auto pen to sign his acts of clemency. So I don't know exactly. We're going to talk to Brad Young in the next hour about some of the legalities. But Carolyn Leavitt had a good day in the briefing room. Here, listen to this.
We're talking about issuing the
let me identify here just because it always helps. This is Caitlin Collins, who, just one of the worst. But anyway, here we go.
We're talking about issuing preemptive pardons to these people.
But was he aware of the of his signature being used on every single pardon? That's a question you should ask the Biden White House.
Is there any evidence on that, that he wasn't aware of it?
You're a reporter. You should find out.
That's like, was there any? Yeah, these are the same group of people that sat in that room every day for 4 years.
And they never really asked
any question about the guy that's drooling in the Oval Office. This is another one. This is a mic drop as well.
There is now a member of the European Parliament from France who does not think the U.S. represents the values of the Statue of Liberty anymore. They want the Statue of Liberty back. So is President Trump going to send the Statue of Liberty back to France?
Absolutely not. And my advice to that unnamed low-level French politician would be to remind them that it's only because of the United States of America that the French are not speaking German right now. So they should be very grateful to our great country.
Yeah, that's right.
That great?
Thank you, Kenny Wallace. I love that. Carolyn, having a very, very good day. Former Senator John Lapping, who's a regular on the Reardon Roundtable, is with us to talk some politics this afternoon. John, how are you? Happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you. Spring is here. All my fields are turning green. It's ready for March Madness.
Yeah, absolutely we are. And we'll talk plenty of basketball this week. There's no doubt about that. What did you think, by the way? I'm going to talk to Brad about this. I don't know too much about the legal aspects of trying to stop the pardons. Any thoughts on that? That's interesting maneuver, isn't it?
Well, I think it I don't know the legal aspects either. I'll be listening in when Brad calls in. But there's so much that we're learning about the Biden administration that it was obvious to people like you and I and all your listeners that the guy was senile. And to the extent that these things start to come out and this light is shed on them. And look, I know there's one set of pardons where he was like in the Virgin Islands or something. He wasn't even in the country and they all got signed that day. And I think what Trump's doing is he's asking questions that support reporters should be asking. I think the public is just, it's just another, we're all piling on with more and more things about the Biden administration that need to be brought out. I think this was a really intriguing one.
It is intriguing. But in the meantime, what the legacy media wants to do is they want to hammer Trump. They want to talk about this Mahmoud Khalil guy, that they want him as a terrorist to stay in this country. They want to talk about the tariffs. They want to talk about the stock market when it's down. They don't want to talk about it when it's up. So they're hitting him on every single front here. And then meantime, John, this is just us. The approval ratings come out for President Trump, and they're like at an all-time high. So I don't know when Caitlin Collins, CNN, and the teams at the legacy media will kind of start to understand where the country is on many of these issues, but maybe soon. I mean, we can just kind of hold out hope.
Well, you know, watching Trump is exhausting. And all I do is watch him. I don't do anything other than that. And the guy can talk three or four times a day with the press, the media on different subjects. He's flying around the world, around the country, answering questions. I don't think the media can keep up with him. And try as they might, you know, this guy, you know, he campaigned almost 60 straight days at the end of his campaign where he didn't really sleep more than a handful of hours at night. And I just think he's going to wear him down. And it's a white flag time with the media. And having said all that, the media is what the media is. But I think the whole alternative media, podcasting, things like that, I think that they've passed the mainstream media by. And they just can't keep up with them.
I think we're finding that out for sure. All right, let me take you back to Friday. Chuck Schumer caves on Thursday. They passed the CR, no government shutdown. I had Congressman Onder on the show at the Fish Fry on Friday. I think a lot of Republicans weren't thrilled with the specifics of the bill, but they decided to get it done so as to not shut down the government. But thoughts on that, John?
Well, in all my time in politics, it's always been the Republicans are the ones that don't want to vote for the horrible CR, and they threatened to shut the government down. And Ted Cruz actually did shut the government down back in 2011. And Schumer was on the other side, you know, throwing stones at them. And I never thought he had no option but to let the CR pass. By the way, it was just all Biden's budget, the one that he put forward, and he agreed to just last fall. So it just the Democratic Party is whatever this thing is now that is Democratic Party is not set up to win elections. It's going to have to reform itself or do something different. Or we're on the front end of a very long Senate period of time where Republican thinking will dominate the political sphere in my mind.
So on the, you know, on the tariffs and the economy, though, you know, and you're in the financial world. So I'm very curious about your thoughts on that in particular, because some of us want to see the 401ks continue to grow. I pointed out last week, you know, because the media wants to focus on the downtime. Look, the Dow sat at 22,000 in October. So this is not exactly new territory. It dropped to that number. There's no doubt that the Dow grew and Wall Street had some pretty good years here the last few years. But there is a little jitteriness on the economy right now.
Yeah, and there should be, and quite frankly, the reasons why there should be are reasons that are things that I'm happy with. The system has been set up 30, 40 years to benefit, you know, corporations, to benefit shareholders, to benefit real estate owners, and it primarily centers around our trade policy, where we were willing to engage in trade around the globe that allowed our competitors to produce and for us to buy at a low price. And the net result is the middle class lost all their opportunities that they had as we shipped all these industries overseas. At the same time we were doing that, we had, you know, unfettered immigration. And the Trump administration is they're determined to set the country on a very different economic path. It's one that will benefit the middle class, and the middle class owns some stocks, but not like the upper middle class and above does. It's to benefit the middle class to allow them to have good, high-paying jobs and have them not be competing with illegal immigrants. And so the system that was reflected in the stock market price is that's been the dominant system. And if Trump and Scott Bessert, the Treasury Secretary, are successful with their Treasury policy and their foreign policy, it'll be a whole different universe of companies that'll benefit. It may not be the ones that are at the front of the line right now in the stock market. So anything can happen in the stock market in any circumstance, but this is a very big change the administration is trying to make with how our economy operates. And it's going to be some serious bumps in the road.
Yeah. So I want to get your reaction. This is former Senator John Lamping. Just to this, one of my favorite guests is Batya Gargan. I know you've heard her on here. She's a contributor to Newsweek. She is what I refer to as one of my favorite reform liberals. She was on Bill Maher's show again over the weekend. Now, look, I come at politics and always have from a very conservative philosophy. I've sort of described it as more conservative libertarian philosophy, but smaller government. I've been there since the beginning with Ronald Reagan. You're a very conservative Republican and have been. But listen to how Batya describes herself and where this leaves the rest of America, and maybe you and I right now, this time in politics.
We're approaching 2 months in. I mean, you must have a feeling in your gut. Look me in the eye and tell me you don't, that this is really going badly and I shouldn't have thrown my lot in with this team.
Yeah, so Bill expects maybe Batya to say, yeah, you know what? I'm having some buyer's remorse.
Oh, no, I feel the opposite.
All right. Tell me why.
I'm so sorry, Bill.
No, tell me why.
No, I feel so proud of, I mean, I was never a Republican or a conservative. I was a leftist, and I am still a leftist. I'm just a MAGA leftist now because...
That makes no sense.
When I look at what President Trump ran on and the agenda that he's enacting right now, he took a Republican Party that was built on social conservatism, foreign interventions and wars, and free trade and free markets. And he basically took an axe to all of those. During the campaign, he said, look, I mean, he's pretty pro-gay. That's pretty obvious. He appointed the highest-ranking out gay person, Scott Bessent, our Secretary of Treasury, which is incredible.
So, you know, she goes on, but she's not wrong about that. So how do you think all of that fits in with modern politics, though? Because the coalitions are very different than they used to be.
Well, that's what I was talking about before. That's exactly right. The Republican Party today is not the Republican Party even 10 years ago. This is an entirely different approach to things, and she's spot on. Like, our approach to trade had devastating effects for the average person, the middle class person, and how this country is going to go forward. Obviously, the old system allowed for massive government deficits, government spending, outsourcing of all those jobs, artificially low interest rates. And it benefited people who own things. They own real estate, own corporations, own the stock market. And what Trump is trying to do, Scott Bessert is trying to do, is they're trying to create a place a country where we produce the things we consume and that the benefit accrues to the people that are here working and looking to grow and expand the middle class. I mean, I saw the article I saw the interview you just played, and you know, she's mentioned the fact that, you know, as a percentage share of GDP, the middle class had almost twice of what they have today back in the 70s, and essentially were sold out by their betters and the elites. And this is a really difficult thing that they're trying to do. But it's just going to take the juggernaut that is the Trump administration to try to get it done. They'll be fought every step of the way. And I'm praying that they're successful, because the way we were going forward could not continue to be. Scott Besser, the Treasury Secretary, actually said the easiest thing for us to do was to keep doing exactly what Biden was doing, which is deficit spend $2 trillion a year and let all our donors get super wealthy. And that's all that was happening. So I'm really grateful for the change.
Hey, before I let you go, just Mike Kehoe, the new governor, is going to join me in the 5 o'clock hour. He held a news conference last week in the aftermath of the passage of the police control bill. Nick Schroer was on the roundtable on Friday. That was something that was shepherded very effectively through the legislature. And now we have a police commission once again in St. Louis, or will.
Yeah, that's great. It's not going to make a hill of beans difference unless the people who lead the city and then ultimately leave St. Louis County and they get serious about crime. I don't know if you saw the videos over the weekend.
I did.
Did
you see the videos over the weekend?
No.
Address this. Jane was, it was just masses of people and a mob of people just doing, you know, stupid crap.
Oh, great.
A bunch of kids and stuff, and no cops that were seen in the video.
It was down at Keener Plaza. We spent millions of dollars upgrade Keener Plaza. It's right across the street from hotels. And the reason that, you know, we announced population loss again last week, and I guess the city lost another 3,700 people, and they're closing schools because children's population is declining even faster. And so, yeah, that's great that Mike did what he did. That was his promise, and I'm glad they did it. But it doesn't make a hill of beans difference unless leadership changes and these people get serious about what's going on downtown.
I don't disagree with you on that. And what happened, I'm glad you brought up what happened on Friday night, because it was outrageous. Thank you, John. I will see you soon. Enjoy the week and the weather.
Yeah, see you on Friday.
Go to, that's right, he's on the roundtable on Friday, so that'll be good. He'll be there at
that's great.
The Assumption Paris in South County. Yeah, so if you go to Jane's, I don't think I retweeted any of this, but if you go to Jane's Twitter feed, you'll see these images from Keener Plaza where dozens of kids and mobs are just kind of swarming around. Now, we're a week away. You know, this is hard to believe, but opening day is just a week away. And typically, there might be a little bit better security around Busch Stadium. But I'll tell you, as someone who walks between Busch Stadium and where we sit right now, which is not too far from City Hall, I don't ever see police. And I don't even think that you have very many at Keener Plaza. So what happens when something like this, you know, takes place when there's a bunch more people downtown? I don't know. And maybe we don't have to worry about that because no one's going to the Cardinals game. So there's something to that. But I think what we saw on Friday night, so it's just the same thing when, it's just time and time again the same thing. When Janae lost her legs, there's crime and criminals and people that should not be out that are parading around downtown, and there's no consequences for them. And they know that there's no consequences. And that's part of the problem. There's no police in sight. So to Lamping's point, there needs to be more changes than just six members on a police commission, for sure. We're coming back. Actually, I think it's five. Coming back with more. Hang on. Sue's News after the top of the hour. Monday afternoon on the Mark Reardon Show. A pretty nice day out there. A little chillier than maybe last week. And it was cold this morning. A little frost on the ground.
Oh, right? Yeah.
What'd you say, 80 for tomorrow?
80 tomorrow.
That's nuts. You know, that's great for spring. And I was mentioning, you know, opening day is only about a week and a half away. Quick correction on something sports related. I don't like it when I do this, and I conflated two conferences, because Mizzou's going to play Drake from the Missouri Valley Conference, which their tournament takes place here in St. Louis every year. Very successful. SLU plays in the Atlantic 10. I was making the point that the level of competition in the, and I'll say this for the A-10 as well, the A-10 and certainly the Missouri Valley Conference, it's just nothing like the SEC. And that doesn't mean that a team from the A-10 or from the Missouri Valley Conference can't catch a team off guard. But my position with my prediction about Mizzou. And let's face it, Sue, my record on predictions ain't that good. So there's a very good chance I get this wrong. But I'm holding firm in that the level, look, Mizzou is in the top half of the SEC, and they've proved it time and time again. They didn't finish as strong as some of us would certainly like. But if they can't beat a Missouri Valley Conference team in the NCAA tournament, then I would just stay home. So that's where I am. Now, of course, there'll be an upset, and I'll have to eat my words.
Well, you never know.
Yeah, but you don't ever know. You really don't. Were you, like, I used to be into St. Patrick's Day when I was a drinker, and that goes back to pre-1990, but I even had some friends that came in from Mid-Missouri for the big parade today.
Oh, did they really?
I think Governor Kehoe was at the parade. The parade's kind of a big deal.
That's nice. No, I think it's great. I just have nothing to.
Yeah,
no,
I mean, interest. We're not even. No. Are we wearing green?
No, I forgot.
Do I have any green on? I kind of forgot.
No,
too.
I
am going to feature a little Celtic music in the next hour.
Well,
that's about
nice.
As good
okay,
as I can
that
get.
Counts.
Yeah, good. Happy St. Patrick's Day. Look, my name is Reardon, right? I should be celebrating.
Yes, I was going to say.
I just don't think about it as much, and there's no corned beef and cabbage in my house because my wife hates it, so it's not going to be made. Brad Young is coming up after Sue's News. We're going to talk about Mahmoud Khalil, the Columbia University student, the former student who is currently in federal detention. How is that legal? Can he be deported? Brad Young will join us. We got Cusimano to talk a little March Madness and also hockey. The Blues kind of bounced back over the weekend.
That was nice.
That was awesome. And then, of course, opening day, as I indicated, I think is a week from Thursday. So that's coming up. Mike Kehoe, Dwayne Patterson from HotAir.com in the 5 o'clock hour. Let's see, I think I have a little time here. I wanted to play a little bit more of the audio from Batya with Bill Maher on his show over the weekend because I think she did a great job. She was a guest on our show last week, but Bill was kind of challenging her on why she supports Trump still, and she mentioned some of the economic stuff, but also Ukraine.
And he sidelined the pro-life wing of his party.
He has changed the party, for sure.
Okay, so he believes abortion should be legal for 12 weeks.
But on free trade,
on foreign intervention, he's anti-war. He's trying to bring an end to all of these wars, okay?
By surrendering, but yes.
Okay.
okay, that's a funny line, and Bill's funny, but let's at least look at... Again, for me, it's pretty simple with Ukraine. There's no path to victory.
There isn't.
So you show me a pact. And then are we just folding up, or are we saying, hey, maybe we should stop the killing? So Bill looks at it differently. I guess Democrats do.
He's on the other side of another party that is quite pro-war and wants to keep the war going, right?
So let me just get
to the third point. And the third point is, and he's not free trade. He does not believe in free trade. He looked at our destroyed manufacturing base. He looked at the downwardly mobile working class. He looked at the fact that working class Americans can no longer afford the American dream. And he looked at why that was, which was there was a handshake agreement between both parties that we should somehow have free trade, which resulted in shipping 5 million good manufacturing jobs overseas to build up China and Mexico.
And some came here.
So the difficulty that I have on that point, and I understand what Batya is saying. I understand what the president wants to do. The problem with manufacturing, I've been talking about manufacturing jobs for a long time. The manufacturing jobs in this country started disappearing in the 1960s, before I was even born. And they accelerated for decade after decade. So I'd love for there to be a path for, you know, more manufacturing. Clearly, there are some things that are made here. Will the tariffs make that easier? Yeah, it possibly will. Will that bring a robust manufacturing base with American jobs to the point where we can dramatically change the economy? I'm not as confident that that's something that can happen here because I think it's just so complicated. I do agree with Batya on the broader point about, and Sue, I think I recognized this certainly in 2016. I was a little late to the game, but there is a whole swath of people out there, and this has been exposed a couple of times, that feel that Washington does nothing for them. Right. John was even referencing, like, some of us have 401ks. If you've been working for a long time, a lot of working class people don't. Maybe they have a pension if they're in a union somewhere.
Right.
But they're scraping things together. They see what inflation's done to their family. We got credit card debt. I've talked about credit card debt for a long time, the last few years. If you go back to the pandemic, we were at the all time low. Right. And now we've reversed it. So people are still spending the same amount of money that they've been spending. The problem is it's going on the credit card and they're not clearing the debt. They can't refi the house because interest rates are so high. So there's warning signs in the economy that do worry me. But I understand Batya's points, and I think she did a great job on Bill Maher's show. Sue's News is coming up after Fox News.